Some of you will remember Gavin Peacock. Anybody remember that name, Gavin Peacock? He was a footballer back in the 90s. He played for Chelsea, and I was reading something that he wrote this morning. And he was talking about how as a child and then a teenager, everything for him was football, right? Just obsessed with football. He was an athlete, obviously very, very good because he made it right to the top of the game. And as he was coming through, getting his first professional contract, getting all of his dreams fulfilled, getting to play in the Premier League, he even played in an FA Cup final, which I remember because my team beat him, but he played in the Cup final. I mean, he was living the dream, but he said as a 16, 17, 18-year-old, what he thought would satisfy him ended up feeling empty. It wasn't what he thought it would be. And so there he was living the dream. Everyone wished they were him, and yet he was feeling empty, like this is not what I thought it would be. He went along to a church with, I think it was with his mother, and after church got invited to a youth group, went to the youth group, and he said there was something about those teenagers, those Christians, they had something that I didn't have. I felt empty, they seemed full. And he was intrigued by it. He wanted to know more, so he kept asking questions, kept going along, kept listening, ended up hearing about Jesus, becoming a follower of Jesus, and then continued his football career, finished his football career, and he's now a pastor of a church, I think, in Canada. And so Gavin Peacock, one example among millions of people whose lives have been changed by meeting Jesus. You've heard five stories this afternoon, and it kind of leaves you with the question, what is it that Christians actually believe? What is it that makes such a huge difference? I want to tell you what Christians believe with one Bible verse. Okay, it's from an epistle in the New Testament, which is a letter called Galatians. Don't worry about that for now, just one verse. And this verse tells us what we need to know to understand what is the deal with Christians. Right? What is it that they're so excited about? And what is it that brings about such a change? Okay, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let me read it to you. The writer says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you really want to boil it down, the main idea of what it is that Christians believe is this. Christians believe that Jesus' death has changed our life. Jesus' death has changed our life. Okay, there's two things that are going on in this verse. The first thing that Paul, the writer, is saying is that something big happened in history. Something big happened in history. He's looking back. The final 12 words of the verse, he says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That's a historic event. He's looking back to the time when Jesus came into this world. All right, you probably have put two and two together. Jesus, Son of God, left heaven, became a human at Christmas, right? That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And he grew up in a humble family, in a humble home in Nazareth, but he was a man on a mission. And his mission was to reveal God and to rescue humanity. And so Jesus was in this world with a mission, with a purpose. And if you read through the first four books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are four biographical accounts of the life of Jesus. And you get to watch Jesus in action. You get to see the compassion, the kindness, the love of God, how he cared for people whose lives were a mess, whose lives were broken, whose bodies were failing, whose income had gone, who were hungry. All these different things were going on for people. And Jesus cared for them. And he loved them. And he looked after them. And it's just an incredibly attractive thing to see the love of God dressed up in human flesh, which is what Jesus is. Christians believe that God the Son loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Jesus didn't just come into this world with kind of nice thoughts. There's lots of people with nice thoughts, bless you, have a good day, oh, I hope it goes well. You know, it's very easy to say nice things to each other. But Jesus came with the love of God, which drove him on his mission to reveal God and to rescue humanity. So all through those years, when he was doing all the things he did and teaching and looking out for people, all the time he was telling his disciples, his followers, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be crucified, hung on a Roman cross. I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to rise back to life. And his followers couldn't put all that together in their heads. They're like, nah, it's not going to happen. You can't see that happening. No way. But Jesus knew. He was here on a mission. And his mission wasn't just to say nice, loving thoughts. His mission was to demonstrate the kind of love that is not fluffy and sappy and mushy and kind of Valentine's-y. It's the kind of love that bleeds blood red. Jesus went all the way to the cross, and he chose to allow them to kill him in the most grotesque, horrific, humiliating way possible. And Jesus lifted up on the cross, gave up his life. And so Paul in this verse says, right at the end, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That's a historic event. That's something that happened. For Paul, it was less than two decades before. For us, it's 2,000 years ago. But that's a historic event. Now, you might be sat here thinking, really? I thought it was just a myth. I thought this was like, you know, Christian mythology or something. No, actually, it's a historic event. It actually happened. And it matters. It's worth researching that and finding that out for yourself, that Jesus really lived. He really died on a Roman cross. And he really rose from the dead, walking out of the tomb on Easter Sunday, which is what we're celebrating next week. Okay, fair enough. Christians believe in a certain historic event, right? We all believe in historic events. Battle of Hastings, 1066, right? That's a historic event. Or the Battle of Wembley, which we could call it, 1966, when we beat the Germans, right? That was a bigger war. You know, whatever moment in history you want to look back to, yeah, sure enough, there's all these kind of historic moments. Why does it make a difference that Jesus died outside Jerusalem 2,000 years ago? Well, that's the second thing that Christians believe. According to this verse, it's not just that we believe that in history something big happened. We also believe that in my personal history, something big happened. At the start of the verse, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. Here's how it works. At some point in time, the message of what happened 2,000 years ago gets presented. It could be like this in a church service, somebody preaching, they explain it and people hear it. Okay. Could be watching something on the internet, listening to the radio. It could be reading a Gospel of John that you're given. You could be sat in a prison cell reading a Bible for the first time. There's all sorts of different stories. And if you asked around in this room, everybody that is a Christian would have their own story, just like the five stories we've heard. But the point is that the historic event of the death of Jesus is presented, and as the person hears that, gradually they get past the fact that it just happened, and it kind of becomes clear that that was for me. That's not just a historic event 2,000 years ago, okay, fair enough. No, it's for me. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. It's for me. It becomes personal. When you realize that Jesus didn't go to the cross by accident. It wasn't some kind of religious movement that got out of hand and then things went a bit wrong in the end. No, he was planning to go there before he even came to this earth. That was his plan. That was his mission. He was going to the cross to die a death that he did not deserve. Whose death was that? Mine. Yours. Every one of us, because none of us live up to any sort of standard. We don't even live up to our own standards, do we? Let alone God's standard. Like, we're in trouble. The wages of sin is death. We're all deserving of death. I mean, it's a serious business. And so Jesus came and he went to the cross 2,000 years ago, but he did it thinking of you. He died for us. And that's how it works. You see, the historic event suddenly takes on a personal significance. And gradually you realize, wow, he died in my place. He died the death that I should have died. Wow, that was for me. And if that is what God's love is like, if that is how much God loves me, it turns everything inside out and upside down. It transforms everything. And suddenly the life that you've been living, the goals that you've been living for, the aspirations, the dreams, the ambitions, it all kind of falls apart. You realize, wow, this is a love I've never known before. It's greater than the love of family. It's greater than the love of anyone, a friend or whatever. It's greater than the love I have for myself, which is overpowering. But this love is, wow, it changes everything. So when you become a Christian, you kind of come to the point where you say, okay, when he died for me. And that changes my life so that my old life, my old reasons for living, my old existence, as far as I'm concerned, it's gone. When he was crucified, it may as well be true that I was crucified because that life is over now. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. My old life is finished. I've got a new life. Paul says, but Christ lives in me. You see, the fact of history is that Jesus didn't just die, but he rose again. He conquered death. Which is why Christians aren't just remembering an inspirational figure from history. Christians talk about having a relationship with him. Christians talk about having the life of Christ within us by his Spirit. And you go, wow, that's amazing. It's a whole new life. But just in case we start to think, oh, that sounds a bit weird. Okay, so I'm no longer alive, but he's living in me. Am I some sort of zombie with like a radio control thing going on from heaven? No, Paul clarifies. He says, the life that I now live in the flesh, this life that I'm living, how do I live it now? I live it by faith, by trusting in him, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's the Christian message in a nutshell. That's the thing that Christians believe. We believe that something happened 2,000 years ago that is massively significant. Jesus died. And we believe that in our own personal history, that reality has really hit home. And we've discovered that his death on that cross 2,000 years ago was my death. He died the death that was mine, and I get to now live the life that is his. It's an incredible deal. We bring all of our sin, all of our brokenness, all of our failure, all of the things that we're ashamed of, all the things we've never told anyone, we bring that and say, this is all I've got. And Jesus says, okay, I'll take it. Here, let me give you everything that I've got. And we know we can trust him because he already gave it on the cross. He's already given himself for us. Something huge happened 2,000 years ago. And if you're a Christian, you'd say, and something huge happened for me in such and such a date. For me, it was 1982. Each person here would have their own story. The moment where you realized that death was for me. I want the life that only he can give. I want a life that satisfies because this world offers nothing that satisfies. Here's the message of Christianity, if you like, wrapped up in one verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Two questions as we finish. Are you still at the point of thinking about, okay, so that's a historic thing? I didn't realize that. I need to look into that more. That's great. Look into it. All right, this is not a myth that we're asking you to blindly believe. It's a historic fact that we're asking you to do whatever research you like. It can stand up to your scrutiny. Did Jesus live? Did Jesus die? Did Jesus rise from the dead? Because if that is true, then we've got to think about, okay, so what does that mean for me? And so if that's where you're at and you're not sure, then please do look into that some more. Talk to us. We'd be glad to help you with resources or whatever, just to help along the road with that. Maybe you say, okay, I accept that that's true. Well, then maybe you're at the second question. Has it yet broken through to make you realize, okay, that was not just a death. That wasn't just a sad death. It wasn't just a tragic death. No, it was a deliberate death out of love for me. Has it become personal yet? And that's really what we're all about here at Trinity. We want you to be able to explore, to ask questions, to find out more, and ultimately to come to the point of knowing that when Jesus died, he died for me. God loves me. That's the hope of Christianity. That's the message. It's not about fixing your life, turning over a new leaf, trying to fix things and make things right and live a better life and be more religious. All the things that people think of Christianity, that's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying God loves you. And he's proved it. He's proved it by sending his son to die in your place, to die the death that was yours, and then to offer you the life that is his. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to have the band come back up and we'll sing the last song and finish up our special time together. But let me pray, and let me just say, if you want to find out more, please come and speak to me, speak to Andy, speak to anyone that you know here that may be able to help. We'd love to help with any questions or resources. There's a few books out there on the table. Help yourself to anything that looks like it might be helpful for you. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for Tom and Catherine and Billy and Kerry. Thank you that each one of them can say that your death has changed their life. Thank you that we've been able to celebrate that this afternoon. Thank you for the joy of the baptisms. And thank you, Lord, that what we're looking at in your word is the truth. That you so loved us that you sent your son to die for us. And if we believe and trust in him, we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. We're so blessed, so privileged to be told that. I pray for everybody here that you'd help us to either celebrate what's already true in our lives or to explore, because if this is true, it's the most important thing we can ever look at. Help us, Lord, to ask the questions, to investigate for ourselves. And ultimately, I pray that everybody here will come to a point where we realize that God loves me and Jesus died my death and I can have his life. I pray that that would be the transforming moment for every single one of us. We pray that you just go ahead of us now in all that we're doing as we finish up our service, as we chat together and head into our week. Lord, we do that conscious that we've been thinking about the biggest issues, the biggest questions. So let us not leave it behind, but let us take with us the questions that are in our hearts and ponder and pursue and find out what's true. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.